Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to our final segment here on Circles of Change. Thanks so much for joining us. And I'd like to welcome in the studio Ava Butler, who's an organizational development consultant based here in Tucson.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, actually, I'm pleased to catch you in Tucson since you spend so much time on the road, wherever the airports will take you.
That's true.
Well, let me introduce Ava. She has partnered with business leaders throughout Europe and the United States to achieve transformational change, our common theme. From strategic planning to designing programs to accelerate major corporate change, Ava has helped such clients as FedEx, Boeing, Johnson & Johnson, and Eurotunnel. She's all about developing and implementing plans that mobilize employees on all levels to meet ambitious business goals. Ava also coaches middle and C-level managers in anything from small to indeed large organizations to increase their performance. Growing up in Iowa and Minnesota, so she's a fellow Midwesterner like me, Ava has lived in Tempe, New York City, Seattle, Italy, London, San Diego, and Vancouver, British Columbia. Her career path started in social work with job-related placement and re-careering agencies. Following a BS from University of Arizona, she angled eventually into corporate training and her own consulting practice in 1985, reinforced by a master's in organizational development from the New School for Social Research in New York City. In Ava's opinion, if you want to live in an area experiencing transformational change, and if you like the sun, there's no better place than Tucson, Arizona, which has been home for 5 years for this globe-trotting consultant and her playwright husband, Richard. So again, a real pleasure to get the chance to have you on the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So I think we might want to first start this word of transition, change, and transformation. How about some distinctions from your perspective?
Well, I guess transformation means that something big and different from where you are as opposed to where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And the transition is either getting there or thinking about where you want to go. And I loved your first segment around having to let go of what you have and get to where you want to be. And I think change is both individual and corporate. And, you know, if you're going to transform a company or even individually, it takes a lot of change and for a lot of people.
And I think part of the challenge is when you're really talking about change in the company context, how easy it is for people to slip into, well, it's those guys over there that've got to do it. And that really we're talking about, if you really want it to stick, it's almost everyone in some way from the inside out first.
That's true. And I think also when thinking about organizational change, an organization is really a collection of individuals. Mm-hmm. And you don't change a company, you change individuals and teams, and therefore you change the company.
Which is hard to lose sight of, because I think, because sometimes some of those teams are across borders, you know, and virtual organizations and the like, that you can touch into that. Well, you had written a wonderful article that, by the way, folks who are tuning in, you can go out to her site. It's www.avabutler, A-V-A. BUTLER.com, a variety of articles and experiences that she shares, but this one about the top 10 tools for transformation. Because of our time, of course, we won't go through all 10, but why don't we just start down the list and strike our fancy on the one that you feel that would resonate particularly today?
Well, first of all, let me talk about why tools. I think that just like if you were a carpenter, you have to have a lot of tools in your toolbox, and you use the right one to help you accomplish what you're doing in the at that particular time. And the same is true with transformational change. There's a lot of tools, a lot of techniques that you can use and customize to whatever you want to accomplish. One that I would highlight is the transformation map. And a transformation map is a one-page depiction of where you want to go and what are the key actions or milestones to get there. So if you can imagine identifying first, what your end target is in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years. I've even heard of 100-year goals, but that's extremely unlikely. Usually it's around 3 years or 5 years. And then thinking about I want to accomplish that specific goal, for example, to double my business in 3 years, what are the key buckets of activity I need to accomplish? So it might be around new product development, geographical expansion, better customer satisfaction and service, people, processes, technology. It could be a variety of things, but pick a few that are most key, and then think of, okay, if I want to double my business in 3 years, what do I need to do in the next quarter, the next half year, the first quarter of 2011, the second quarter or second half of 2011, 2012, et cetera. So thinking of new product development or customer service or whatever you've chosen.
And actually even drawing those pictures on what does it feel like, smell like, taste like.
Exactly. And to working together as a team to agree what are those major steps. It makes it less threatening, and it also creates a common experience or a common picture of where you want to go.
You know, but that sounds like common sense, doesn't it, to you, to us? But oftentimes people think, well, everybody already gets this.
Maybe everybody gets it, but also where are the priorities? Having a shared agreement. A lot of times there's an assumption that we all agree and we know how to get there. We know the interdependencies and we know what's important step by step, but that's not always true.
In fact, I think on your list here, the two tools you list before you even get to the maps is to make sure everyone can speak to the business case as to why you want to lay out something mm-hmm. like this. And then also making sure you got everybody that should participate. You call it stakeholders mm-hmm. that are engaged in that process, because it's all too easy to overlook someone or think you're on that path and realize, whoops, we forgot to include XYZ.
Yeah, and I think it's key to think of stakeholders, in other words, anybody who has a stake in the end result, and understand what their part is in achieving your goals and making sure that you're thinking through very clearly the interdependencies. For example, a lot of technology projects were very famous for not including the business, but also not in thinking of outside geographies, outside of headquarters, thinking if this is the way business is done here, when I implement this new technology, it's transferable to Brazil, to Europe, to India, et cetera. Well, without engaging those stakeholders, if you will, and really understanding their business, how they'd use the technology, et cetera, there were often missteps and things didn't get used and the results weren't there.
Well, in fact, trying to do something for the regional greatness of good, but also trying to keep it local for the relevance is important.
Yes.
You know, I'm also reminded of the fact that many times, and I'm certain a lot of our listeners, you have the opportunity to either work in the corporate office or be out in one of the divisions or even the next step out in the field. Mm-hmm. And we used to jokingly say in the division where I was in this one large company is, boy, you want to avoid at all costs getting posted to headquarters because we think they breathe funny air up there.
Yeah.
Or if you go, you better bring your own oxygen tank because you think, does something happen when you cross over that threshold to not understand the relevance or the feeling?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, no sooner do you point to them than you find yourself hearing that same kind of feedback from your customers or your field service people, the old, well, what are you guys thinking?
Yeah.
So I think you're right, the idea of stakeholders. The other thing, though, and you know, it's only in the last few years that I think our business society became comfortable at exposing what goes on behind the walls to those who are on the other side. In other words, to allow the customer to come in and help guide you in some of your major decisions, because your fear is, well, he'll go and have that same conversation with one of your competitors or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the most important feedback and insights can come from your customers or can come from unlikely sources. And companies can be very insular and focused inward mm-hmm. as opposed to focused outside.
And not just the customers, but then the sub-suppliers and suppliers that have to make what you ultimately mm-hmm. want to make happen. So number one was business case or getting everybody mm-hmm. engaged. Then the stakeholder identification, your comment to start us out about transformation mm-hmm. maps. But once you've got the map, then you've got to digest it in ways that people can understand. So
yes.
Tool number four.
Is project charters and project plans. And oftentimes people will have a goal, double their business in 3 years or grow significantly or whatever it might be. But they don't have a clear plan to get there. I find oftentimes project leaders might be identified, but they're not clear of what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. People are assigned to a team, but they're not really sure about their accountabilities. So the best place to start is with a project charter. And a charter is usually a one-page document that describes the deliverables, what's in scope, what's out of scope, what the measures are, the targets, who the sponsor is, who's the top executive person who's going to make sure that this happens and clears the path to make it happen, a project leader, who's the day-to-day person who runs the project, and then the project team.
And of course, this these techniques are equally as important for nonprofit endeavors as well as for those that engage volunteers as they are for Forpay.
That's true.
And by the way, I should mention that the tools that Ava is referring to, she does provide them on her website. Again, it's avabutler.com. So you've got the charter and the planning. So obviously, you would stress in us nailing down the idea of the project team itself and making that very mm-hmm. clear.
And the project team is going back to the idea of stakeholders. You mm-hmm. need to think of who's going to be impacted. And therefore, as I'm designing, analyzing, planning for the change, and then planning to implement the change, who do I need to have on the team to help me think systemically? And to our earlier point, sometimes you can have other people besides your core team, like customers, like other divisions, other departments. But the best teams are cross-functional. They come from usually the middle of the organization and the people who understand not only just where the business is going, but really how things run.
I think it's also helpful to put a couple wild cards in the mix too. Some people that may not have as much experience as others are really mm-hmm. come a far flung because they're the ones that are going to say, now why is it we're doing it this way?
Mm-hmm. That's
that
true.
Really can add some sanity or insanity to it if people mm-hmm. start going down a path that isn't as open-minded to possibilities.
Yes, that's true. And there's two other things I would add. One is sometimes if you know someone's going to be a resistor, or a department that's going to be a resistor, or maybe the unions or, whoever, put them on the team.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Help them design the future. And often the person who has the most negativity also has some really important points and that need to be incorporated.
Well, particularly they're going to become the ambassadors to carry it forward. And, they really are your thought leaders mm-hmm. That can be actually the most compelling people to help learn and teach after mm-hmm. the fact.
That's true. And then the other point I would make is that being on change projects or any kind of project that's something new is a great place to learn and develop new skills. So it's a great place to put someone who you think is your high flyer or next generation of leaders, give them a chance to really get outside their own day-to-day jobs and do something new. And usually wonderful things happen.
Exactly. And in fact, we often talk here about people who are looking to grow their careers and expand. It doesn't necessarily mean changing the organization you're in, but one of the sure best ways to give you a broader field of view mm-hmm. is indeed to take the opportunity to be on a special team. And actually, it's a great way to test drive whether or not you're ready to maybe take that entire cross-functional move so that you can saddle up and shadow someone. Mm-hmm. And likewise, then be a mentor and a coach for others to help them be more sensitive to the kind of issues and challenges your department might have.
Yes, very good point.
That you mix up the deck. Well, a team is all good and well, and charters and so on, what you said, but in the absence of having probably the right senior support many times, things can go awry. So I know your tool number 6 is really the key role of an executive steering team.
Uh-huh. And it's important that the regular process checks are made and that, to your point, that there's a cross-functional steering group of pretty high-level people that don't get involved day by day, but can really make sure that decisions get made, that obstacles are addressed, and that once the implementation is ready to go and launch, that it not only happens but is sustained.
Yeah. I think that's right. And I think my area of research has been, as people listen to our show countless times, is all about not just the people by title, but it's also the individuals by influence.
That's true.
So on your steering teams, just as much on your project teams, you really have to be discerning about what's the informal organization structure, the who knows who, not mm-hmm. just the who knows what and know how. And that key, it's one thing to have somebody who's a mentor, but it's another thing to have someone who's really a sponsor.
That's true.
That can open doors when you don't have enough funding or you don't have the right participation, you need to make mm-hmm. a course correction.
That's true. And good steering groups and good sponsors aren't necessarily the one at the top.
Right.
They're the one that has the influence and can really steer through things. It's also possible to have many levels. Usually not more than three levels of the organization on a steering group, but that can also be extremely powerful because you think more multidimensionally.
Can you think of an example that we, you know, a client that you worked with in the not too distant past that you saw this play out in a very positive way? What are really some of the distinguishing characteristics
of a steering group?
Yeah, steering group.
I think when you're making a big change, and I can use a technology example again because I did so earlier. That, you know, you've got strategic reasons why you want to make a change. You've got technology issues to consider. You've got many different groups that will be involved, from back offices through to sales forces. And so it's good to have some of the people that can remember, you know, can be accountable for the numbers and the strategy, but also some of the people that are really going to influence sales groups, et cetera. So, for example, one group that we had representatives of some geographies, representatives of different sales teams, representatives of the IT group, as well as HR and the finance team.
And what I bet you probably encountered is many of these people didn't even know one another because they're in the same organization.
That's true. And coming together for one common reason,
yes,
starts to build alliances and partnerships that last longer than just the project.
Isn't that true? We're midway through the list. I wanted to just shift real quickly. If we think about these, you know, six elements so far in the context of personal change, you know, having a business case and a rational reason for why you wanted to shift, making sure you're engaging whomever else might be important to you making that decision, whether it be your spouse or your fellow colleagues or your mentor. That transformation map, right? That what's your mm-hmm. strategy for then looking for that new job or moving within the organization? Setting up your own project charter and plan. I think, again, mm-hmm. some of these techniques would aptly appropriate if you put the I there instead of the we. Project teams, we often talk about who else you could tap in your mm-hmm. broader network. And then this idea of your own personal board of directors is probably synonymous with an executive steering team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's many, many correlations. And a project team could include your kids.
And in fact, it must if they're teenagers,
and, you know,
right?
They're clearly stakeholders.
Yeah.
But giving them different jobs help, you know, if you're going back to school, for example, you're going to have extra work to do and you're going to be away from home more. Maybe you need your kids to step up, understand the why you're doing that,
right,
and also enlist their help in a variety of ways.
That's well put. So we've got the steering team, and then the actual nuts and bolts of how a lot of things happen this day and age, besides email and electronic stuff, is obviously the face-to-face meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So some of your points that, Ava, you find people need to be reminded of.
Well, most people hate meetings, and for the right reasons. They're usually a colossal waste of time. But they're a wonderful tool for getting things done. And there's different meetings for different reasons. Meetings to make decisions, like in a steering group meeting, meetings to inform, meetings to gather information. So it's critical to make sure you've got the right person, right people in the room talking about the right things, and to document not only decisions but next steps.
Right,
and one
really
of the most
clear.
Powerful points of any kind of change is to ask the question, who does what by when?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when are you going to get that done? Who's accountable? And then to have the audacity to follow up and actually make sure that things happen when they have been agreed to happen.
And I think there's another follow on that as well when people sign up. And, oh, by the way, who do you need to help you make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, you even list that in addition to obviously going through progress reviews so people really understand that timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But really getting clear on roles and responsibilities and who else you can lean on, need to lean on, perhaps are not available to lean on, so how can you replace that?
Right, exactly. And there's a wonderful tool called RACI, which is who's responsible, who has to do work, who's accountable, where does the buck stop, and there can only be one person, which is why you've got the high-level sponsors who can really be accountable, who needs to be consulted before the decision is made and informed after the decision is made.
And I think, again, we spend a lot of time here on this show talking about that word accountability, and some people probably brace and say, uh-oh, that means I'm the stuckee with some things. But I think you and I both, as others would say, no, accountable means how can people count on me?
Mm-hmm.
And even how can I count on myself to be able to deliver.
Exactly.
So I think this isn't just about being the stuckey, I'll say. And then obviously, you know, once you've gone through a change or in the midst of the change, always anchoring back with how sustainable is what we're doing and do we need to change the change even?
Right. And sustainability analysis is the last tool. Oftentimes, once a change is launched, the project team declares victory and then
they go off and things
start to fizzle away. And to make sure that things are sustainable, you need to make sure that people know their jobs, they know the new processes, maybe they need new job descriptions, maybe there need to be new measures, targets, bonus structures, you know, whatever it takes to make sure that things are in place for the long term.
Wouldn't you say, though, some people that are adept and gifted, like we talk about here on this show, at being in the mix of the big change, chaotic dynamic,
mm-hmm.
that once the change is in place and you're looking to be into a sustain mode, those people may not be the right people to be in sustain.
That's right. You need to make sure you've got the right people in the right jobs.
And it isn't because they're not skilled or that they weren't vested in continuing the success. It just isn't what trips their trigger.
Yeah,
that they'd rather be in the mix the deck up once again, and God love them that they do, because some people aren't mm-hmm. as gifted or desiring of that kind of
that's
environment.
That's true. So you need to make sure that there's training and communication. And as they often say, what made you successful yesterday is not necessarily what's going to make you successful in the future.
That's really right. Well, Ava Butler, thank you so much for joining us here on Circles of Change. And for those who'd like to get in contact with Ava, if you'd like to give us your website and your phone number.
Yes, it's avasbutler.com.
Thank you.
Avasubutler.com. That's avasbutler.com. And my cell phone is 520-404-9470. And
right.
Please feel free to give me a call.
That's wonderful. Thanks for joining us here today on
thank
the show.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.